Welcome to This is the Jet Life with Dan Burnham, your guide to the New York Jets, sports, and much more. And now, your host, Dan Burnham.
What is up, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of This is the Jet Life. This is a very fun time in the Jet Life. It's a fun time in my sports life. UConn just won the men's basketball championship. That was freaking awesome. Congratulations to them. The New York Knicks actually got the number 2 seed in the NBA playoffs, which may have been a curse in the long run, but they did get that number 2 seed, which is wild. The New York Rangers got the number 1 seed and the President's Trophy in hockey. So it's a really cool time to be a New York fan, to be living here in Connecticut, enjoying New York sports. But the most exciting thing coming up right now is 1 week from today, the 2024 NFL Draft, where the Jets hold the 10th overall pick, as well as a third-round pick, a couple of fourths, a sixth, a couple of sevenths, the opportunity to build the future of this team. We know that this is a win-now sort of season for Joe Douglas and Robert Saleh. We've got Aaron Rodgers. We've got a lot of one-year veterans that are going to be here, Mike Williams for a year, Tyron Smith coming in for a cup of coffee. Just how far can we push this thing? But you can also see in the background like a really good core of young players being built with the Jets. The draft class from 22. What can we get from Will McDonald, Joe Tippmann? We may have some really good core centerpieces around this team as well, even when those older players move on. We do need a little bit more, and an influx of players in this draft would be massive for us. Positions, you can find some that the Jets could use. We don't really have any open starters on the team right now, except for maybe if you want to say we could use a safety to be a starter. Not a great draft for safeties early on. But other than that, it's like, okay, you're going to be drafting depth. What position group do we think might be in most jeopardy of getting injured? What position group do we think has the worst depth? Or what one do we think would derail the season the fastest if that position group got depleted? You can think like that. But I think at the end of the day, the most important thing for this team is to draft good elite players. You could look at the 2022 draft class and say that a running back wasn't a massive need, but Breece Hall changes a lot. You could have said that maybe a cornerback wasn't the most important thing to draft at pick number 4. We needed to go offensive line. But I'm telling you, Sauce Gardner is making more of an impact than a guy like Ike Ekwonu on his team because Sauce is that good. Get elite players. Positions are important. Elite players, guys that really make the identity of your team, are the most important things. So it's a lot of hypotheticals on this podcast, of course. These are not my favorite ones to do because there are so many different positions the Jets could draft from, different picks they could trade to and out of. We don't know what everyone else is going to do. A lot of moving parts within the draft. We can probably narrow down to a few guys for that first round pick at pick number 10. Some guys the Jets may go after. Aside from that, and if they trade any of the picks and move around, like there's no way to really know. Just trying to figure out maybe some players to keep an eye on. The agenda and plan for this podcast episode is going to be go over some Jets news and notes, including discussing that big trade for Hassan Reddick. Then we're going to do an overview of the Jets picks, do a couple of draft notes, some JD draft theory. Then we're going to talk about my favorite options for that first round pick, that pick number 10. And then there's a few position groups that I really was keen on this year for like the third round pick and the 2 fourth round picks, guys that I think maybe would be good value or available in the middle of the draft. There's some position groups, so I went through those position groups in detail this year, and I kind of ranked some guys that I like, and I'm going to go over that. Then I've got a What's on Tap, Father Time. We're going to get into this thing, but the draft is coming. Prep up, enjoy the process, enjoy everything that's going on, the New York sports. It's a fun time of year. It's one of the last few little hurrahs before the season starts, right? We get this. We get the schedule release, which is kind of exciting. They find a way to do it in like little installments where it's little eggs here and little ones there, little boost. Ooh, big game. But other than that, it's going to be like waiting for training camp, maybe a couple more free agent signings, maybe a couple trades in the offseason here. Not a ton. It's going to really quiet down. So enjoy this time of year where there's a ton of draft coverage and just NFL coverage in general. I'm going to do this podcast previewing. Then I'm going to do a podcast after the draft that reviews the draft class that we got. That's always a much more fun podcast for me. Then I'm probably going to take the spring off and some of summer up until like a training camp preview where we do position battle previews and things like that. There's a chance that I would do a schedule release breakdown. But those are so, again, hypothetical. Now, yeah, we can go through the schedule together, but everybody will have already known the schedule by the time I even do a podcast. So we'll see about that one. If I feel like just talking Jets, if there's enough other news and notes going around to make a podcast out of it. If anything crazy happens, some sort of wild trade or something, maybe we'll do an emergency podcast as well. But the goal is the draft review episode and then taking a little bit of a break. I want to remind you to rate, review, subscribe to this podcast anywhere podcasts are found, especially if you like it. That always goes a long way for me. Also, follow me on Twitter at Jets_Dan. This is part of the Fans First Sports Network. Let's get into the darn thing because there's a lot of stuff to cover. Starting with the Jets news and notes. First big news, the Jets got new jerseys and logo for this 2024 season. They went back to the tried and true 1980s stuff that is my favorite logo. You can see the current This Is the Jet Life logo that I use for the podcast. I actually made sure that the creator, David Stefano, put that jet plane with the wing up that goes over the new Jets logo. I made sure that that was included in the logo because it's one of my favorite features the Jets have ever had. And the fact that they took it away and went to just like New York Jets in an oval was lame to me. And then the new iteration that they did in 2018 was even worse. So I'm really happy that they're going back to the basics, the classics. I remember week one last year, we basically wore these jerseys and it was so cool to see. Of course, the injury to Aaron Rodgers put a little bit of sourness on that, but the jerseys were beautiful and the Jets are going to be wearing those again. You rank them, the white is by far the best. The green is pretty good as well. I don't like green shirts on green pants. That doesn't look good to me. They look like green beans. Green shirts on white pants looks good. The black is a little bit weird. Black jerseys always kind of are. I thought they were maybe a little bit better the way they were before. This is like too old school retro of a look with like a new era color scheme to it. It's not really vibing for me, but either way, I love the new jerseys. I love the new logo. I'm glad they went this direction. It was a home run and it was overdue, to be honest. I'm recording this podcast on Thursday the 18th evening. Joe Douglas is going to be doing his pre-draft press conference tomorrow morning on Friday the 19th. So depending on when you listen to this, check that out. See what Joe Douglas says. Maybe he can give us a couple clues about his sort of thoughts about the draft board, whether or not he'd move or be aggressive or what he's looking at. But that's one of the exciting things coming up. Some transactional news. The Jets re-sign Ashton Davis. That's really exciting for a couple of reasons. One, he keeps getting better, right? Every year he's gotten a little bit better. Number two, he makes big plays at big times. They put him on the field in big time situations when, like, you know, it's third and long, you know, the other team is throwing, or like fourth down conversions on special teams where he runs the ball. He gets some big opportunities in those big stage moments, but he's shown up. So he's deserved another contract. He's a longtime Jet, so great to have him back there. We drafted him originally out of California a few years ago in one of Joe Douglas's, maybe his first draft class. I'm trying to think, it was with like Mekhi Becton and Denzel Mims, I believe. But to get him back is great. But the other side of it is, even if he's not a starter for this team, we need a depth at safety because we only have right now Tony Adams and Chuck Clark, maybe Jerick Bernard Converse if he can play. But Ashton Davis has made himself into a very good special teamer on the gun team, getting down there and making plays. And with Justin Hardy now going over to the Cleveland Browns, his hometown, we kind of need somebody to take that ownership of the special teams unit. And I think that Ashton Davis could be that guy to fall into that mold, be a special teams specialist, maybe a captain for this team with potentially some ability to play on the defensive side of the ball as well, make some big plays, be a sort of gadgety little guy. And he's homegrown, probably going to be inexpensive. I don't think the actual contract details have come out yet. If they did, I think I missed them, but I'm sure it was just a couple million dollars for a year. I'm happy to have him back. He was a guy that I wanted to have here. But the big transaction, the Jets trading for Hassan Reddick from the Eagles. The Jets traded a conditional 2026 third-round pick to the Eagles for basically 1 year of Hassan Reddick, one of the best pass rushers in the entire NFL. It's going to become a second-round pick if he plays over 67.5% of the snaps this year and gets over 10 sacks. So basically, if he doesn't miss any games and plays the amount that maybe we expect him to, something like a little more than Jermaine Johnson played last year, he'll be at about 67%, can't miss any games. And then he's got to get 10 sacks. So if he plays every game and has a great season like he has been, we'll end up giving a second-round pick. If he doesn't do that, if he misses a game or two, finishes at 63% of snaps because of that, maybe gets under 10 sacks, whatever it may be, then we're only giving away a third-round pick. So I think that that's pretty good risk mitigation there, as you also are able to bring in one of the best pass rushers in the entire league. And it's actually pretty ironic that we're getting Hassan Reddick from the Eagles to be our pass rusher to basically replace Bryce Huff, who went to the Eagles from the Jets. So we basically swapped players Hassan Reddick for Bryce Huff. And then at the end of the day, Hassan Reddick is a much better player than Bryce Huff. Bryce Huff signed a 3-year deal with the Eagles. He's got a lot more left in the tank. Hassan Reddick is 30 years old. You know, we loved Bryce Huff because he was an undrafted free agent, never complained. Hassan Reddick is a little bit more of a money-hungry, you know, hired gun, assassin type of guy that you can just, hey, we'll give you $15 million this year. Come in here, get a bunch of sacks, and then go get paid elsewhere if you need to or come back here. He doesn't have a lot of allegiance or loyalty to teams, but that's okay. You can be a Jadeveon Clowney or a guy like Hassan Reddick and bounce around teams. As long as you show up and give them what they're paying for, then everyone's going to be happy. I think that he has the ability to be the best pass rusher that we've had on this team since John Abraham. He's ridiculously good and talented, and he's got a little bit more versatility than Bryce Huff because he plays a linebacker that plays in a three-point stance and blitzes, you know, goes after the quarterback as a pass rusher, but he's also able to drop back into coverage and play a little bit more in space in the field. Bryce Huff did not have a lot of versatility, whether or not it was because he wasn't given the opportunity or wasn't able to play a lot of the snaps. He didn't do a lot on first downs. He wasn't a goal line guy. He was a third down pass rush specialist that maybe wasn't great at setting edges. Hassan Reddick is a little bit more complete of a player, can be on the field for more, can do more, and he's got a massive history of success, having over 11 sacks in each of the last four seasons. This guy finished fourth in the entire league in Defensive Player of the Year voting in 2022. Basically the fourth best defensive player in the entire NFL, regardless of position, 2 years ago. He is one of the most elite players in the Jets roster right now. He joins the conversation with like a Quinnen Williams, a Sauce Gardner, a CJ Mosley or Quincy. Like Hassan Reddick is right in that mix as well. Jermaine Johnson. There are so many of these players now on the team. The Jets have done such a fantastic job of adding great veterans to a young core of fantastic players. And I'm thinking we might be in the sweet spot right here. And that's why the Jets were able to do this deal for 1 year. If they want to try to do an extension with him, that's fine. He's looking for something like $20 million plus a year. He wants to be paid big time. But either way, we're going to have him this year. We're going to try to make a push. And it helps us add to that rotation. You know JD loves having a good defensive line rotation. And that was one thing that I was kind of like secretly worried about going into the draft is like we didn't have Hassan Reddick, you know, a couple weeks ago. And you're looking at it like, okay, we've got Jermaine Johnson and we've got Will McDonald and John Franklin Myers. And then it's like Michael Clemens. That's not enough for Joe Douglas and Jeff Ulbrich and what they're trying to do here. We're obviously going to have to add somebody else. Is there a scenario where the Jets would go some sort of pass rusher early in the draft this year? That would drive fans absolutely bonkers. But getting Hassan Reddick here gives us that flexibility to have the rotation. And Reddick, he's not a Bryce Huff 40% of the snap type of guy. He's a 67, 70, sometimes 80% of the snaps type of guy if you need him to be. So a fantastic guy to add to this team. So that is the big Jets news and notes. Aside from that, it's really just starting to prep for this draft coming up in 1 week. When you look at the Jets draft picks here, we don't have our second round pick because we traded that away when we got Aaron Rodgers. But we do have a decent first round pick at pick number 10. We are drafting in the top 10. That feels good. After that, in round 3, we've got pick number 72. In round 4, we've got picks number 111 and pick number 134. We got that 134 from a pick swap with the Baltimore Ravens when we got Morgan Moses. We moved back a bit in that fourth round, but Morgan Moses having him as the right tackle is much more valuable than a couple draft spots in the fourth round to me. In round 6, we've got pick number 185. In round 7, we have picks 256 and 257. Both of those are compensatory picks. We traded the other compensatory pick away earlier in this offseason. And we hold 257, which is Mr. Irrelevant in the draft. So we will have the very last pick and the second to last pick in the draft. And that's pretty cool. Overall, it's a first round pick. So one pick on day one, which is only the first round. Then day two, which is rounds two and three, we're only going to have that pick number 72. And then on day three, on Saturday, we're going to have picks in the fourth round, a pick in the sixth round, and then two picks in the seventh round. So it's not a ton. Pick number one, or pick number 10 for the Jets, I expect to be a fantastic player. They really need to hit on 72, 111, and 134. They need to hit two guys out of those three to make this draft class a success. I'm not going to say that every single one of those guys is going to be great. Someone's going to be a diamond in the rough or a project player or somebody that just bad luck happens that didn't end up working out. But between 72, 111, and 134, let's look for someone great. And then between 185, 256, 257, and our undrafted free agent class that we're going to get, let's try to get a couple good special teamers and interesting, intriguing, you know, Xavier Gibson type of guys that could be worthwhile to have. Maybe another Bryce Huff would be fantastic. Those guys don't grow on trees, but we have found some decent undrafted free agents and late round picks over the years. It's going to be important to do it again. So those are the picks that we have looking at the draft coming up. Before I get into the players that I'm looking at and some of the Jets draft theory and stuff, I wanted to touch base with my dad in this week's edition of Father Time, where my dad writes me an email of all of his thoughts pertaining to whatever podcast we're doing for that week. So I said, give me something on the Jets draft coming up here, some of the things you're looking at, some of the focuses, whatever. And he got me this week's Father Time. Always love to have these. And good to have another person's opinion rather than just mine. Let's see what Dad says about the 2024 NFL Draft. This is written by my dad, David Burnham. Here we go. The draft is now the focus for filling current holes while building a perennial winner. Joe Douglas has done a good job upgrading the team through free agency, but I have said, these short-term additions are expensive and fleeting. Band-aids, not fixes. That's why this draft is so important. If you have successful drafts, you have great players at a bargain price for multiple seasons, and you can presumably keep the great homegrown picks that you re-sign and depend on. The long-term seasoned veteran like Brick, Nick, David Harris, that's what it's all about. The draft is about grabbing cheap young talent and developing and building the foundation in the future. Needs on April 25th are wide receiver, offensive tackle, safety, plus some less critical needs like running back, cornerback, linebacker, and of course depth. Notice I didn't list tight end? There's a reason. I don't think we need one. Brock Bowers is being listed as the most possible Jets pick in round one. We can use Bowers, but we don't need him. Last year, Conklin had 613 yards of receiving with Zach Wilson at quarterback. What do you expect Bowers' rookie improvement to be, even with Rodgers slinging the ball? A few more yards and a couple more touchdowns, and that's it. Conklin's fine, and expect better from him with Rodgers back. Give me a tackle to protect and block on every play. There are plenty to choose from. There are three that can do the job at 10. Joe Walt, Talius Fuaga, and Olufoshanu can all be plug-and-play starters. With a trade back, you can add a guy like Amarius Mims and Troy Fatanu, even J.C. Latham. But I really prefer filling that left tackle spot because left tackles are harder to find and have a tough job. Also, Tyron Smith has a better chance of missing multiple games this year, so a capable and inevitable left tackle need is here now and going forward. I can see Morgan Moses being back in 2025. Day 2, I like the slot receivers in round 3 with great players like Jalen McMillan, Roman Wilson, and Ricky Pearsall. Western Kentucky's Malachi Corley is a great fit, and there's many more. They're very good safeties then, too. What do you think? Does Joe take a quarterback? Today, I'm thinking no. Trade up? Trade down? Stay put at 10? Who knows how this thing is going to shake out? Joe Douglas doesn't even know. But I know the key additions are on the way, and I will welcome whoever Joe Douglas picks. They will be Jets. This is the most wide-open draft that I can remember. Really, with all the directions JD can go, any pick he makes is going to be a surprise. Go Jets. End scene. So, whoa. A crazy good Father Time from my dad, where he lists a bunch of players, and believe it or not, there's going to be some similarities in his thought process and mine. as we've basically been talking together for the past 4 months since the season ended, and our collection of draft knowledge is a think tank between the two of us. We have hour-long conversations about these guys, and I'll say, check this guy out. Maybe you weren't ranking him very high, or I'm not so high on that guy. And ultimately, we end up with pretty similar thought processes on this stuff. I agree with him. I love the offensive tackle look. I love those guys, Joe Walt, Talis Fuaga, and Olu Fashanu. Those are guys that I'm really looking for. I think I'm a little bit more excited about the round one wide receiver options and even Brock Bowers in round one, because having weapons for an offense like this is very exciting. But then when you look at like the mid-round stuff, safeties, slot receivers, yeah, I'm with them all the way. I rank my slot receivers a little bit differently than he does, but overall, we're kind of on the same page with how this team should look at this. Now, that's going for needs, right, what the Jets currently need, the opportunity to have a slot receiver on the field or another potential starting safety to fight for that spot, the guy that's going to be first man up if an offensive lineman goes down. But again, the most important thing to me is players that play well. Even if we draft a center, doesn't feel like a need right now. If we draft an absolutely dominant center and just slide Joe Tippmann to guard, that would be great. We'd have an offensive line with a great core built. What if we draft an absolute stud linebacker, something we totally don't need right now? Well, when C.J. Mosley retires, we're going to have an opportunity to just like use all of his knowledge on this great guy and have more fantastic New York Jets linebacker play. As long as the player is dominant, I'll love him. So let's look for those guys. But that was a great father time from my dad. I like what he's talking about. He talks about the quarterback and he says, what do you think the Jets would do, take a quarterback? I mean, there's a bunch of different spots that he could do it. I do think that they have a predicament on their hands because they have three quarterbacks right now, and I don't think they want to carry four. Aaron Rodgers, Tyrod Taylor are going to be on the team. If they can't get rid of Zach Wilson, do you cut him? Do you try to trade him for pennies on the dollar, maybe during the draft? If you can trade Zach Wilson during the draft, that is fantastic because then you can fill the need, bring in another guy, maybe get a little bit of value as well. Look for something like that to potentially happen. But if you bring in a guy to be a backup quarterback to just learn behind Tyrod Taylor and Aaron Rodgers, it's very interesting and intriguing for the future of the team. But it does pose just like a roster makeup complication as you have now four quarterbacks. Got to do something with Zach Wilson. Dad's thinking we don't get one. I'm thinking round 4, 5, 6. Maybe we do. Trading down, he mentions. I think that's definitely a possibility. But again, depends on how this board is going to fall. But me and my dad are absolutely in the same mindset of the draft being so important because we have to build the core, right? When the Jets were at their best, we had those DeBrickenstraw Fergusons, Nick Mangolds, David Harris's on the roster, guys that we drafted, Darrelle Revis. When our team was at its best, we had fantastic Jets drafted players. We absolutely put in a surplus of like purchased players in 2009, 2010. We brought in a ton of free agents that were like a big deal, but we already had a good core that made this a good landing spot. It's kind of similar to how we did it with Aaron Rodgers again. Mike Williams, Tyron Smith, DJ Reed, Hassan Reddick. I mean, Joe Douglas has brought in some really good free agent guys that weren't necessarily homegrown here, but were willing to come here because they liked what we were building. And I think we're right there at that moment when we're going to find out what it's all been for. What do we really have and how good are these pieces? We were supposed to find out last year. The injury bug ruined everything. We can't have that happen again this year. That would be the most devastating thing possible. Something that definitely could happen to Jets fans because things like that always seem to happen to us. But if we can stay healthy, we're going to see this thing play out. And I think we're going to love what we see. But this draft class is that final finishing touch to get that depth in there and then to start building for the future and help Joe Douglas and Robert Saleh keep their jobs. Guys that I love having here. So thank you for the father time, Dad. That was a fantastic one. I look forward to seeing how it all shakes out. Now, before we go over to the actual draft preview, we do have to take a quick commercial break. Alrighty, and welcome back to This is the Jet Life. We are going to do the draft preview portion of the podcast, starting with some draft notes here. The draft is going to be held in Detroit on Thursday for round one. Then on Friday, we're going to have rounds 2 and 3. Saturday, rounds 4 through 7. It'll be on a bunch of different channels. I actually heard that Bill Belichick might be doing some stuff on ESPN during the draft, so make sure you're watching the NFL Network for it. We when you look at the actual landscape of the players within this draft, there's a ton of ambiguity with how teams are going to operate in the draft. I think a lot of years we go in and we think like, all right, we know who's going to be drafted at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And there's some pretty unanimous decisions in mock drafts and stuff. And there's not a lot of like, I have no idea what's going to happen. Right now, after pick like 1, we really have no idea what's going to happen. Not only because we don't know what teams like the Commanders or Patriots are going to do in terms of drafting players, but we don't know if they're even going to stay put, if they're going to change up the draft board, do something wild, trade out. We know a lot of teams are looking for quarterbacks right now. We know this draft has a lot of good quarterbacks, which always makes things interesting. Because if there's a good quarterback that you think can change your franchise, teams are willing to do some crazy stuff to make it happen. And when you do crazy stuff, the whole draft board changes. So that's really exciting. Teams are going to be willing to trade up and trade down this year a lot. I expect a lot of trades. When you look at the other position groups besides quarterback, there's a lot of good offensive tackles, primarily in the first like 50 picks. There's like 7, 8, 9 guys that you could take easily in round 1 or early round 2 that would be potential cornerstone tackles for your team. Once you get past 50, not a ton of offensive tackle depth. So if you want an offensive tackle and you're looking for one in this draft, you probably want to do it pretty early. When it comes to wide receivers, there is depth all throughout this draft. We are going to see a ton of wide receivers drafted, primarily to me between rounds 1 and 5, but all the way through the draft. You're going to see a lot of them go in round 1. You're going to see a lot of them go in round 2. And then you're going to see a lot of good ones go in round 3 as well. And these players are good players, not just, you know, average Joes. This is a great wide receiver draft class. When you look at the other skill position running back, no one really stands out in this running back group. There's not one sick player. There is no Bijan Robinson. There's not even a Breece Hall in this draft class. I'm not even sure if there's a Zach Charbonnet, to be honest. This is overall a weak running back group with a lot of guys that are similarly graded, similarly skilled. They just have different styles and flavors and sizes and stuff coming from different schemes, whether you run a wide zone scheme, you're looking for a big play guy, a guy that just goes up the middle through a gap scheme. No one really stands out as the best running back, but there's like 7 or 8 guys, rounds 3 and 4, that you could take, and if he's the right guy for your scheme and your system, could be a good player for you. There's a lot of good cornerbacks in this draft, both in the slot and outside. Tons of good cornerbacks. I think the safety group is pretty solid, but there's not any high-end elite guys. There's no Kyle Hamilton in this draft. Nobody's going to be drafted at safety in round 1. Round 2, you might start seeing some guys go. Round 3, you're definitely going to see a lot of safeties. Probably the back end of round 2. And there's some pretty good players there in that group. It's just not like elite level talent. Definitely starters. Not the guys you want to draft in the first round. I think the Jets could be looking there. Overall, more of the talent, the elite talent, is on the offensive side of the ball. This would be considered an offense-heavy draft compared to other years where it feels defense-heavy. And honestly, when you look through it, wide receivers being very available, offensive tackles being available, safeties in the late rounds, this kind of aligns very, very well with the Jets' needs. Maybe that's because Joe Douglas set it up this way. Maybe it's just a very lucky draft class. We'll find out. I have, on certain drafts, been in complete lockstep with Joe Douglas and been like, I wanted Sauce Gardner, Garrett Wilson, Jermaine Johnson, Breece Hall, and Jeremy Rucker, and he got all of them in one draft, and that was crazy. So I was like, I've never been more in sync with the GM in my life. But then we also had a year when it was like, we're drafting Will McDonald, or we're trading away instead of drafting Denzel Mims, who I thought would have been a great Jet, or Ashton Davis and stuff, and you're like, wait, what is going on? We're doing this diamond in the rough Nathan Shepard in the 3rd round coming out of where? He's done some wild stuff too. So it's a mix. I'm hoping it's one of those years that I just am feeling what he's doing. And based off the needs that we have and the way this draft shakes out, positions that are available, it does feel like it's the perfect storm brewing for the Jets right now. Our biggest needs as a team to me, right now the most important thing is offensive tackle still, even though we have 2 starters in Tyron Smith and Morgan Moses. If one of those guys goes down, we are in Schitt's Creek again. We had horrible tackle play last year. It derailed the entire season. In fact, a bad block from Dwayne Brown on the 4th play of the season is what got Aaron Rodgers out for the year. Was it a scheme thing? Was it a Dwayne Brown thing? I don't know. But he was 38 years old, was never going to be an elite level left tackle. And the Jets are trying to be much better in that regard this year. But there's still 2 players that missed time last year and games, you know, Tyron Smith has missed many games in his career. So if something happens again on the Jets' horrible, horrible turf, and one of those or both of those guys go down, let's not have it derail the whole season. Offensive tackle, super important. Outside of that, number two need, I think, is wide receiver. You've got Alan Lazard. You've got Mike Williams for 1 year. Garrett Wilson's really the only guy that long-term you have at wide receiver that you feel good about. Mike Williams is coming back from an ACL injury. If he plays great, that's fantastic, but he's still only here for 1 year. Alan Lazard, he's probably going to play better with Aaron Rodgers, but we don't expect a ton. Xavier Gibson, young undrafted guy, he's good. He's ascending, but he's not like a needle mover. And God forbid something happens to Garrett Wilson or something and he goes down, or Mike Williams isn't quite up to speed the way we thought he'd be. We need guys for this year. We need guys for next year. Weapons. Wide receiver is huge, and the draft is good for him. Interior offensive line. Same theory from the offensive tackle. We can't have that offensive line be what destroys us. We don't have a ton of depth there. It's like Wes Schweitzer's there behind John Simpson, Joe Tippmann, and AVT. But AVT has been injured in his past. Wes Schweitzer's been injured in his past. And I don't want to see guys like Xavier Newman snapping the ball again, getting people killed in the backfield. Then we've got safety, because, well, we have Ashton Davis and Chuck Clark to potentially go opposite of Tony Adams. I don't trust that Chuck Clark is completely healthy yet, or that he'll even make the final 53-man roster based on his health. And I don't trust that Ashton Davis is ready to play a full three-down role throughout the entire season. I want to see if we can get another guy to compete in that group. Number five, need I got running back, because I don't trust Izzy Abanaconda to be the number two right now. Number six need cornerback, because Michael Carter II is currently on his last year of his deal. DJ Reed's deal is ending very soon. We've got Sauce Gardner there. Behind that group, we don't have a ton going on. I want to make sure that the cornerbacks stay strong and that we have a little bit more leverage in case one of those guys, or God forbid, both of those guys walk, you know, next year. Other potential things we could be looking at. A CJ Mosley understudy. CJ won't be here forever. If we can get a guy studying under him, could be cool. Pass the torch type of deal. A tight end weapon. I love Tyler Conklin. I like Jeremy Ruckert. But if you got a guy like Brock Bowers or a Jatavion Sanders or Jaheim Bell, who's like a really good offensive tight end in this draft that could be more of a receiver type of threat, that could be really fun too. That could be like a hybrid slot blocking wide receiver type of guy that just Aaron Rodgers utilizes and gets a lot for from this offense. We can always get an unlimited number of pass rushers in this defense, so defensive ends, defensive linemen, it's something we could do. You know those guys would see the field 30-40% of the time. What about like a quarterback of the future? The guy that can study under Rodgers or Taylor. Other interesting stuff the Jets could do this year. When you look at JD's overall like draft theory, he can trade up if he really loves a player. You know, if he wants to go after one of those wide receivers or his top offensive tackle or even a quarterback of the future, he can do so. He can also look to trade down. Is there a lot of teams in this year that are going to be looking for a quarterback? And if like J.J. McCarthy is available when the Jets are picking at 10 and we don't want to take him, I think a team would absolutely trade up for him. If J.J. McCarthy is gone, say at pick 4, and the top four quarterbacks are all gone off the board and the Jets are there at 10, and you've got teams like the Vikings and Broncos and Raiders that haven't gotten a quarterback yet, would one of those teams trade up to 10 potentially to try to get a guy like Bo Nix or Michael Penix because they really like those players and they think they have a chance to get them? That's possible as well. If a guy like Rome Odunze or Brock Bowers is on the board at 10, does the team love them enough to trade with the Jets and try to get those players? It's possible. I like the trade-down option if one of the tackles that I love isn't there. And I really believe that, like, if you can stay within the top 15, 16, 17 picks, you can still get a great guy. I don't want to trade back to, you know, the 20s of this year's draft. I certainly don't want to trade for 2025 draft capital if I'm Joe Douglas, because he might not even be here that year. Joe Douglas needs to draft this year. He needs to get good players in 2024. He can't trade picks this year for future assets. He can't be thinking like that. He could trade future assets for picks this year. He can definitely think that way to save his job. But he's got to make sure that he gets some good players. He's in win-now mode right now. He's got to develop for the future, for sure, if he's going to stick around. But but he doesn't have time to just like kick the can down the road. He's got to make sure he's got contingency plans for our most important positions. If guys are going to be leaving, if he doesn't want to get into contract negotiations with Michael Carter II or DJ Reed or Garrett Wilson when that time comes, Tyler Conklin's going to walk away and he's not going to do anything. He's got to have backup plans for those things. He's always thinking that way. That's why we got Will McDonald, so we didn't have to pay Bryce Huff $17 million. There's a lot of different things he's doing a year in advance. That's going to be coupled with the fact that he has to win in 2024. So he'll do what he can to have his leverage in his upcoming contract negotiations. It's going to be a very interesting path here to see how he handles it in the draft. He's got a lot of options, a fair amount of picks, some really good players in this draft, and no real serious needs. It's a good place to be. So that is some of the draft notes and theory for this year's 2024 class. Before I get into the specific positions and players for the draft, I do want to take a quick pit stop at the cooler for a little What's on Tap. That is right, folks. This is What's on Tap. And today I am drinking a bottle, a 12-ounce bottle that was procured by roommate Kyle in a variety pack from Long Trail. This beer is called the Pollinator. It is a trail classic from Long Trail, they're saying. It's 4.6% ABV, and it's called the Pollinator. It's got a big old picture of like a bear shooting honey riding on the back of a bumblebee, which is pretty cool, if you ask me. You can taste that kind of honey flavor. It's got like a light Kolsch sort of flavor with a little bit of light IPA and a little bit of honey on it. And it's actually very enjoyable. I don't know if it's just bottles. I don't drink bottles all that often anymore. But it's got like that classic, you know, Coors Banquet beer, like metallic-y sort of flavor. And I'm thinking maybe that's just because of the bottle and the can, or the bottle and the bottle cap that's metal on top. I'm not sure. But that like distinct sort of metallic-y flavor, I don't mind it. It's actually a pretty good beer. Thing is, you get this Pollinator by Long Trail in one of the Long Trail variety packs, and you find out that you love it, and you're like, man, this is a fantastic beer, but then you can't get this beer without probably buying the variety pack or going to the Long Trail Brewery, which actually I've been to up in Vermont, and it's awesome. This one is made in, they're calling it like a light amber trail classic. Trying to figure out where it says it's brewed. It says Bridgewater, Vermont, Windsor, Vermont. I'm not sure which one I went to, but I went to one of them in the winter and it was dope. People were like snowmobiling up and parking their snowmobiles in the parking lot, going in, having beers. It was like lodge setting. Very cool. Their beers are solid too. Good old Long Trail. Good old roommate Kyle coming back with a variety pack to give us something cool for the draft preview podcast. What could be better for this week's What's on Tap? That's what we got. Now, before we go over to the actual players that we're going to be looking at in this draft, let's take a quick commercial break. All righty, folks. Welcome back to This is the Jet Life. This is the bulk of the episode. This is what you've been waiting for. What players do I think the Jets should get? Let's start at pick number 10. Pick number 10, I've got my players ranked number 1 through 11 because we're definitely going to be able to get one of those guys. We're going to have our option of two of these guys no matter what. And I don't include Caleb Williams because I don't want Caleb Williams to be wearing our jersey ever. I don't include Drake May because I think that he looks like Christian Hackenberg and I can't trust anybody that looks like Christian Hackenberg ever again. And then I didn't put Jaden Daniels just because I don't think we'll get him. Jaden Daniels, I will go on record as saying he's my favorite quarterback in this draft class, and I am sincerely hoping that the Washington Commanders take Jaden Daniels so that the Patriots can't have him, because it's going to be much, much easier to root against like Drake May or somebody else the Patriots could get in this year's draft class. Jaden Daniels is a cool dude, good player. I really like the way he plays, and I think he could be really good in the NFL, so I don't want him on the Patriots. I will be ecstatic if Caleb Williams goes 1, Jaden Daniels goes 2, then the Patriots, they can figure out what they want to do. So I don't include those three players. So there's definitely going to be like 5 or 6 of these guys available for the Jets when they pick at pick number 10. And they'll also have the opportunity to trade back with, like, the Vikings, Raiders, or Broncos, stay right in the mix, acquire maybe a pick in the third, fourth, or fifth round, and still get one of these guys. So my number one overall want, offensive tackle Joe Alt. Since the very beginning of my draft research, he has been my favorite tackle. He comes from great bloodlines because his dad played in the NFL. He played at Notre Dame, great offensive line school, really well coached. He plays very, very cleanly. I think he's got a very, very high floor. There's no question that he comes in here and is very, very good at playing tackle for the Jets right away. I trust him with my life to be our left tackle of the future. Number two, this is actually the player that I selected in today's Fans First Sports Network mock draft, where we have all the different teams from Fans First Sports Network all do a pick on behalf of their team. Joe Alt was off the board when I picked, so my number two guy is Talies Fuaga out of Oregon State. He's another offensive tackle, primarily plays right tackle, which isn't as pressing of a need in terms of, like, when you look at Moses and Tyron Smith. The biggest worry is Tyron Smith going down at left tackle because he's got more injury history, and left tackle is a very important position for Aaron Rodgers as he's a right-handed quarterback, and that would be defending his blind side. But Talies Fuaga is another guy that I just trust. Something about these, like, big Samoan dudes that play on the offensive line, they're super, super strong. They're brick houses. They have really good footwork. Dancing bears up there, you know, the AVTs. Talies Fuaga is another one of them. And I love the way he plays, and I think that he would be a fantastic right tackle for the Jets should he play this year and then in the future. I trust him with my life as well. I just have Joe Alt a little bit higher because he's the left tackle and his bloodlines. Number three, again, let's go offensive tackle. This is the guy I trust the least of the three, Olu Fashanu out of Penn State. He plays left tackle. He has some really, really high upside. Could be a fantastic offensive tackle in this league, but he's got some things that make you worried. He has had a couple of horrific games in the league, which made you feel like maybe he could get burned against NFL-level players. He played Ohio State, I believe it was, last year, and looked absolutely pitiful. And you're like, man, just to see a guy like Olu Fashanu have a game like that just makes you worried, because that could come at any time during an NFL season game. And you're like, oh, great, because Olu Fashanu couldn't block X player, we lost that week because it was just an absolute shit show. I don't want to risk stuff like that. So he's my number three. That said, he's been one of the top offensive tackle prospects for the last year. A consensus, early round guy, really high upside, played at Penn State, plays left tackle. I would roll the dice on him, especially given the fact that he wouldn't have to start right away. He would be behind Tyron Smith, so he could learn from him potentially, and then when he's ready, take the torch. Now, if the Jets are unable to get one of those top offensive tackles, my next option would be to trade back. And like I said, stay within the top 15 and add 2024 draft capital. Something in the third, fourth, fifth round, and they can still potentially get one of these guys in this list, but they'll have another pick in the mid-rounds where I think there's some really good talent. I would be happy if we can't get one of the tackles. Moving back, adding an extra pick. I know some people will hate that because there's some players they would really want, but I like trading back in a situation like that. If we can't trade back and we can't get those first three offensive tackles, my number five pick would be Marvin Harrison, right, out of Ohio State. He is the best wide receiver in this draft class. He's friends with Garrett Wilson, played on the team with him. It would be a fantastic pairing. We would have probably the best receivers in the entire league. It's very, very unlikely that Marvin Harrison will be available at pick 10. The only way we would get a guy like him would be if, I don't know, if all hell broke loose in this draft and it was crazy, or if the Jets decided to trade up and try to get him. I don't consider that a very likely scenario, but I included him just for, you know, he's an option. Pick number six, the wide receiver I think is more likely, Rome Odunze from Washington would be my next pick. I trust this guy with my life at wide receiver. He is a super clean, polished, professional player. He's a big body guy, but he's not like a jump ball receiver. He plays with pretty good hand strength, a lot of good finesse, good size, is on the field all the time, can block. And if you hear the guy in the interview, he is a total and complete professional that, again, I trust with my life. He is my favorite wide receiver in this draft class outside of Marvin Harrison. If we can't get those two guys, the next weapon I'd be looking at, number seven pick, would be Brock Bowers out of Georgia. The tight end that would be an instant mismatch a great weapon for Aaron Rodgers. What I love about Brock Bowers with this Jets team would be that he excels in yards after the catch. He's kind of like a George Kittle type of tight end where he can run, play in the slot, or lined up as a tight end, right off of the offensive line. He can block well there. But if he comes back and gets like a 2-yard bubble screen, he then puts his shoulder down and can run up the middle of the field and pick up 6, 7, 8, 9 yards, no problem. He's got great contact balance, not afraid to put a shoulder down, big, beefy, strong, but also super, super fast and elusive. He's like this perfect complement of tight end. That's why he's one of the highest tight end prospects we've seen in a long time. Tight ends have a horrific hit rate in terms of being drafted high in the NFL in recent years, but when you think about Aaron Rodgers being 40 years old and standing back there in the pocket, a little bit nervous, maybe not the best protection in the world, one thing you'd love to be able to do is dump the ball to a guy that's standing 5 feet away from you that can then run the ball 10 more yards. That is a perfect check down blanket that you could potentially use. Brock Bowers is that. Starting out week one, he can do that. Run backwards, run towards the quarterback, look there, catch it, run up the middle. No problem, successful play. He also can then evolve into a much more dynamic player down the field, do so much more for your offense. I like the idea of having him here. If we can't get Brock Bowers, those receivers, or one of those offensive tackles, the next offensive tackle I really, really like, another guy out of Washington, this is Troy Fatanu. This guy plays with a lot of great finesse and technique at the tackle position. They also say he probably will shift into a left guard position or a right guard position, playing interior offensive line, which is fine. It kind of reminds you of the exact same player as Elijah Vera Tucker when he came out of USC, and you were like, all right, this is a guy that plays tackle that probably projects more towards guard because of his shorter arms. But then in the NFL, we've seen Elijah Vera Tucker being able to play left tackle, right tackle, both sides of the interior offensive line. Troy Fatanu is like the exact same thing. He's able to move throughout the offensive line from everything that I've seen. And if they could have another flexible, versatile player like that on the offensive line, it would give us so much ability to counter the injuries that could potentially come up. Imagine having him and AVT able to just shift around and like, okay, we need a tackle this week, we need a guard this week, like, let's get these guys in there. It would give us great flexibility for this year and for the future. My 9th option for the Jets would be wide receiver Malik Nabers out of LSU. He could easily be the best receiver in this draft class. I mean, Marvin Harrison does it all. Romo Dunze, I trust him with my life. Like, fantastic, fantastic floor on that player. When you look at Malik Nabers, he's like that wild card. He could be Tyreek Hill. He could be so freaking good and electric. He could be the fastest, most agile, crazy athlete on the entire field, like, any week. It could be him. He's very, very cocky. He's got some of the most annoying dances and celebrations you've ever seen. He's not quite as polished and refined as Romo Dunze, a little bit more of the receiver that you'd imagine in an interview. And I don't trust him. I think right now he's coached up, but he sounds all right. And he's, you know, everything is supposed to be a diplomatic answer and everything. But you get him after a loss or something when he had a bad game and they're like, hey man, why'd you drop that ball? I don't know. Something about him, I just don't trust him. That's just a me thing probably, because he's a super talented player. And if he ends up checking all the boxes from like a character standpoint and has a great professional NFL career, I could look like a fool for not being in love with that player from day one. My 10th choice for the Jets would be J.J. McCarthy. Jaden Daniels is my number one pick. I imagine that he wouldn't be available here at this spot. J.J. McCarthy potentially could be, and would I hate pairing him behind Aaron Rodgers and allowing him to learn? There's some really nice things about J.J. McCarthy's game. He's got some sneaky athleticism, and he's won on huge stages, and he's played from good NFL-level coaching, right, in Harbaugh, who now is in the NFL. He won on the highest level, played with good players, hit all sorts of different guys, made a bunch of different types of throws. I trust his ability to grow if he had the right type of mentor and wasn't thrown on the field right away and was given a chance to kind of learn and digest an NFL defense the way most quarterbacks these days are not given that. I think he could be really good, so I'd be excited to get him at 10 because of the prospect of the future. My 11th choice, if we had to go one more guy, another offensive tackle, J.C. Latham out of Alabama. Just a big mountain of a man. he could end up being a really good player. So those are my choices at pick number 10 for the Jets, should they stick there and pick in the first round. Now, when you look beyond that, I'm not going to get into like the sixth and seventh round guys because they're just so deep and there's not as much footage on them and it's such a crapshoot there. We don't have a fifth round pick, so I'm going to focus on like in rounds 3 and 4, what type of players would I look at? Pick number 72, 111, and 134. What positions could I potentially be looking at for those rounds? And who are my top graded guys from those position groups? And I'm going to kind of cut off the beginning of those players. When I talk about wide receivers, I'm not going to include Marvin Harrison and Rome Odunze because they're not going to be there. I'm going to start from Ladd McConkey, somebody that won't be there, but theoretically kind of could be there in a trade-up sort of situation or something. So it's kind of like a what could be there in rounds 2, 3, 4, and 5 for the Jets to draft in 3 and 4, just in case one of those round 2 guys happens to slip to round 3. So my first position group is going to be wide receiver, and I actually went a step further and made this slot receiver because I see Garrett Wilson lining up on the left, Mike Williams lining up on the right, and I want to have a really nice slot receiver that I can trust to be a security blanket for Aaron Rodgers, just like Randall Cobb was. The reason that we brought Cobb in last year was to play with Rodgers and be that guy that he could just trust to get open for 5, 6, 7 yards, pick up those quick little first downs, third down guy. I think the Jets could find a guy like that in this draft, and I also think the value is there in round 3 and 4. You start looking at those top outside wide receivers, by the time the Jets get to pick 72, you're going to be looking at like the ability to draft the 10th best outside wide receiver. I don't want a guy like DeVontez Walker to be the pick there. I would rather have, you know, the third best or second best slot receiver who would be a starter on this team week one, I believe. So for slot receivers, my number one guy, Ladd McConkey from Georgia, a total professional. That guy just gets it done. Ricky Pearsall is my number 2 out of Florida. He, if he's available at pick number 72, I would be running to the podium. He's a very, very dynamic, athletic, agile player that also just like is a big-time gamer, gets it done. He's got a lot of stuff that's very impressive, including his route running. Love the way Ricky Pearsall plays. If they can't get Pearsall, my number 3 choice would be Malachi Corley out of Western Kentucky. And I know it's a small school, and he hasn't gone up against great competition, but he played running back in high school. He runs like he played running back in high school. He's probably the best yards after catch slot receiver in this draft. He puts his shoulder in. He's beefy. He's tough. He's a smart professional guy, too, when you hear him. He's pretty humble. I'm a big fan of Malachi Corley. And just because of like the physical traits of what he could bring, I would trust him to be this the Jets' starting slot receiver. Behind him, I've got Roman Wilson, who is like the guy that you trust to no end because he always gets open. He played for Michigan last year. He was the security blanket for J.J. McCarthy, played just like an NFL slot receiver, always gets open, but he's not like physically impressive. He's not super fast. He's not super tall, not super strong. He reminds me of like he'll guaranteed be at least Jeremy Curley. And maybe you laugh at that, but Jeremy Curley had a pretty good NFL career, had a couple seasons that were really good for the Jets, but he was never a dynamic, flashy player. He was always small, undersized, but got the ball, picked up first downs, put together 800 yards, and you were like, wow, it's a pretty good season from Jeremy Curley. He was actually our leading receiver this year. I see Roman Wilson as being like that type of not physically impressive, but very reliable, good player. A guy that could be really good, my fifth choice there for slot receiver, is Malik Washington out of Virginia. Right behind them, I've got Jacob Cowing out of Arizona. I think both of those players could be good flyers for the Jets that play good slot. My number 7 guy, my dad loves, Jalen McMillan out of Washington. He's higher on McMillan than I am. I think McMillan's a good player, but playing in a Pac-12 offense with 3 really good receivers, a fantastic offensive line, and Michael Penix throwing the ball with like 6 seconds every single time, it just was a little too good to be true for a guy like Jalen McMillan, who I'm wondering, when you get into the NFL and the coverage is a lot stickier and a lot different, does he have the same sort of ability? Number 8, I've got Luke McCaffrey from Rice. I'm not sure just how good this guy's going to be, but he had a really nice performance in the Senior Bowl. His dad is Ed McCaffrey. His brother is Christian McCaffrey. He only played at Rice, so that's kind of weird. But Luke McCaffrey could potentially be one of those guys that just gets it done. Christian McCaffrey came into this league handled it like a pro, found his spot, and then just got dominant at it. I think that Luke McCaffrey doesn't have the same sort of ceiling, but from that family, I trust those guys to just understand the NFL at a very, very high level and just find a way to get results from it. Then number 9, I've got Taj Washington out of USC. Number 10, I've got Jamari Thrash out of Louisville. Those aren't guys that I would want in round 3. Those are guys that, like, if we end up looking for a slot receiver in 4 or 5, you know, those are guys that I would potentially be looking at. So slot receiver, big position of need for me. I'd love to get any one of those guys one way or another. The next one I wanted to look at was running back, because you look at Breece Hall, fantastic. Can't play every single down, and what if he gets hurt? You've got Izzy Abanikanda, who didn't get a ton of opportunity last year. I didn't trust him a ton when he played. Behind him, guy like Xavien Valade, he's never been anything more than a practice squad kind of guy. Nick Baudin's a fullback. He's not going to do anything. So what would you be looking at to compete with Izzy as your number 2 running back behind Breece Hall? My number 1 guy is Blake Corum out of Michigan. And a lot of us know that name because he was so freaking good 2 years ago. Could have been one of the top running backs taken, went back to college. He'd gotten hurt, so it kind of slowed him down a little bit. But he played this year, was pretty good. Maybe not back to his pre-injury self, but Blake Corum, he's like 5'7" or 5'8". He reminds me of like a Maurice Jones-Drew or Austin Eckler. Even though he's really, really small, he's super effective at picking up short yardage. Because he gets his pad so low, he's tough, he churns, he's a gamer. He's one of those guys that, like, I would love him on 3rd and 2, 3rd and 1, 4th and goals. Situations like that where Breece Hall's not been fantastic running up the middle. Could change this year if we go to a gap scheme running instead of a wide zone. But Breece Hall hasn't been a super, you know, low pad, pick up that 1 yard, quick hit and power guy. Blake Corum could be that. So he's my number 1 choice for the Jets. Maybe not my number 1 running back in this entire class, but for the Jets, I would love Blake Corum. A guy that's got a little bit more physical ability is my number 2, Jalen Wright out of Tennessee. My number 3 choice, another short yardage specialist, Audric Esteem out of Notre Dame. Then if they wanted to go with a guy like my 4th choice, Jonathan Brooks out of Texas, I'd try him. Bucky Irving out of Oregon, I watched a lot of him playing in that Bo Nix offense. Pretty good player. None of these guys are going to compete with Breece Hall for number 1. But could they compete with Izzy for number 2? Absolutely. And even aside from that, we need another guy. It can't just be Breece Hall and Izzy. You have to have a 3rd one. I don't want the 3rd one to be Xavien Valade. The other option for running back, if we don't go in the draft, is so many teams are going to go into training camp with like 4, 5, 6 running backs on the roster on the 90-man, and then you're going to do preseason. Before the season starts, everyone's going to cut down from 90 to 53. Tons of running backs are going to get cut. There could be some good guys available on the scrap heap the Jets could go after to fill out that room. But then you're banking on 2 weeks before the season opener trying to find a guy to come in here, potentially be running back 2, doesn't necessarily know the system and stuff. We got to get off to a hot start. There's tons of stuff to unpack in that situation. So we'll see how the Jets address the running back position and what they really, you know, inevitably, how they feel about Israel Abanikanda. If they feel like they have a number 2 running back right now and they feel good just having Breece and him, or do they feel like this is something they have to address? Another position we could look at, I talked about quarterback, a guy to come in and learn from Rodgers to prepare to be the quarterback of the future. We haven't had a lot of opportunities to have a quarterback sit and learn and grow. A lot of them have been thrown out into the fire right away, and they have failed, floundered, and never come back from it. Geno's maybe the only one that ever came back from it. But if we look at a guy that could potentially learn from Aaron Rodgers, I think my favorite option would be Jordan Travis out of Florida State. Behind him, Spencer Rattler, who's not quite as physically gifted as Jordan Travis, but has had some really good games. Spencer Rattler played for South Carolina. My 3rd choice, and this is reluctant, my dad freaking loves Joe Milton from Tennessee. I don't trust Joe Milton as far as I can throw him. Joe Milton, I watched him play for Tennessee like 5, 6, 7 games last year, and I never really watched him play because they would go 3 and out every single time. But the guy's got a freaking cannon of an arm. He's like 6'4". He's one of those guys that my dad is seeing and is like, this guy could be, you know, the next Josh Allen type of guy. Maybe without all of that running ability, but some of it. and the cannon of an arm. Like, what if he becomes the Josh Allen? You can get him in the fifth round or sixth round. He is so adamant about the idea of at least giving him the chance. Doesn't think he's guaranteed to be good, but thinks, like, you've got a percentage chance of this guy being something special in the league, and he likes that in the fifth round or sixth round. So for dad's sake, I'll put Joe Milton at three. Number four, a guy that I think has some upside and some sneaky ability, Devin Leary out of Kentucky. Not a guy I would want to start. Not a guy I would want to play probably this year, but a guy that I would want to have just learning from Rodgers on the bench and has some good skill set that could potentially translate later in his career. Then my fifth choice would be Michael Pratt out of Tulane. Same sort of thing as Devin Leary. So those are five guys the Jets could look at. Fourth, fifth, sixth round to potentially learn from Rodgers. Take advantage of it, right? You got this mind on the team for maybe one more year, maybe two. So if you could get a guy to be in there and learn, if we don't, it's going to be Zach Wilson, and hopefully it's not lost on him. I still have faith in Zach Wilson. Maybe they're just trying to do like a smokescreen and make it seem like, oh, we don't want Zach Wilson. But then secretly they're like, well, he's on the roster. I guess we'll keep him. And secretly they're thinking, like, if he could learn from Rodgers, maybe he still can be. And he could have one of those Geno Smith renaissances in his career with just a little bit of time sitting like he was supposed to have last year. The fan base was calling for his head, so get rid of Zach Wilson, he's got to go. But the whole plan last year was to just have him sit behind Aaron Rodgers and learn. Maybe they're thinking they can get away with it for one more year. Remains to be seen. Safety is a position that we could potentially look for a starter for, and we also could potentially get one of the top safeties at pick number 72 if they're available. I'm looking for ideally a strong safety that plays in the box and can tackle. If not that, a ball hawk. One of the two things. Give me a tackler, give me a ball hawk. My number one choice would be the tackler, Jaden Hicks out of Washington State. He's also my dad's favorite safety, and a perfect strong safety option that would be one of the best safeties in this draft class, probably the starter alongside Tony Adams. If we can't get Jaden Hicks, Tyler Newbin out of Minnesota. Some consider him to be the best safety in the draft class. Very versatile player. Javon Bullard out of Georgia is my third choice. Another guy that potentially could be considered the best safety in this class and also potentially could be available around pick 72. He probably will go a little bit earlier, but these guys are not super far away from what we can get in the third round. Cam Kitchens out of Miami, a little guy, but he's a ball hawk type of guy, makes plays in the defensive side of the ball. Kind of a scrappier sort of bulldog, played for the Bulldogs in Georgia. Tyke Smith had a really nice Senior Bowl. I took notes on him saying, like, man, this guy's pretty good. Watch some of his tape. He can tackle. He's scrappy. Played for that Georgia defense. Wouldn't mind getting him. Another good, more, probably not a starter right away, but like a project, strong safety, Cole Bishop out of Utah. Utah's had some pretty good players come out of the draft, and I think he could be another one. The last position I'm going to talk about for players that I would look at for the Jets to draft in those mid-rounds, and this is, again, only guys that would potentially be available for the Jets in those mid-rounds. Interior offensive line. In this situation, we're looking for depth because we've got Elijah Vera Tucker, John Simpson, and Joe Tippmann lined up to be our three starters. Somebody goes down, Wes Schweitzer can play any one of those positions. Something happens to him as well, this player may have to play. My first choice, it's got to be Christian Haynes out of UConn. Christian Haynes is a strong, good guard, and I watched him play live. I watched all of his games this year for UConn. He's the best player on the team. He stood out every single game. They had a pretty good offensive line, but he was by far the best, and he was the UConn Huskies' best player. And it would be great to have him be a guy that can learn and play depth into your offensive line and eventually grow into a starting role. My number two choice would be Zach Zinter out of Michigan. He had an injury where he broke his tibia and fibula, and it took him out of the season in like November. So right now, I think he's being graded a little bit lower than he should. Zach Zinter, absolutely, if he played this year, in my mind, would have been one of the top interior offensive linemen available. And the Jets are going to be able to get him for a bargain price because of that injury. He's not going to have to play right away. He's going to have time to be completely recovered, get back up to game speed, and could be a fantastic player that played in that Harbaugh offense that is basically an NFL-level offense. My third option, Cedric Van Pran out of Georgia, who basically plays center. He'd be a good player to potentially one day kick Joe Tippmann out, you know, permanently to the guard position, where I think Joe Tippmann probably is a little bit better. So I would like to get Cedric Van Pran to be that guy. And then fourth, if you don't want to go with the center, how about a flexible guy like Cooper Beebe out of Kansas State? He could be available there. Probably not a guy you want to start right away, but a versatile swing interior offensive lineman that, you have options there. So those are some players for the interior offensive line. And those are the position groups that I'm really looking for in that third pick and those two, or that third round pick and those two fourth round picks. We're going to find out if the Jets took any of those guys on the draft review episode. I will be watching the thing. I'll be tweeting about it at Jets_Dan as the draft is going on. My dad is going, I'm actually going to my dad's house on Thursday. He's coming over on Friday, and then remains to be seen what's going to happen on Saturday. But it is going to be a big time draft bonanza in the Burnham household. And I'm looking forward to it. There's a lot of good stuff coming for this Jets. I can feel it. I listed enough names here. I did enough research. We better draft a couple of them, for crying out loud. The year that they took a bunch of guys that we wanted was one of the best draft classes they've ever had. If they could do it again, grab some of these guys, I'll feel really good. And then, you know, it's on them to show up on the field. But the Jets are in a good place right now, adding for the future, adding for the depth for this year to give us a little bit more contingency just in case something goes bad again. That would all be fantastic. The schedule for the podcast coming up, we're going to do that draft review, and then going to take a spring, summer type of break. Going to be waiting for training camps to be coming rolling in and do some training camp previews where we talk position battles and what positions are up for grabs and all that stuff. Possibility of doing a schedule preview when the schedules come out. Possibility of doing an emergency podcast if something nuts happens. But I kind of look forward to taking my spring, summer break, watching the Knicks, watching the Rangers, fishing a lot, being outside and stuff. It's the only time of year that it's actually like, it's okay and tolerable to not be totally invested in Jets football. This time of year you have to be because I can't really do anything outside. It's the regular season for sports. Baseball's just starting up. It's like, man, what the hell are we going to do? Can't go outside really here in Connecticut. So consume football stuff like this as much as possible. But it's easier to forget once the summer comes. So I'm going to try to do that. And then, from there, just rate, review, subscribe to the podcast wherever podcasts are found. And let's enjoy the draft. Tweet at me, reach out to me. Let's see how we do. Let's go Jets. Build the future. I'm Dan Burnham, and this is the Jet Life.